three or four rather squalid-looking hacks were gathered outside my front door. I walked towards my car, smiled, said good morning to no one in particular.
Do you know Jess Crichton?
Who?
The Wasit Minister's daughter. Education.
I've been a friend of the family for years. We spent New Year's Eve together. That's how this silly misunderstanding arose. It wasn't a suicide pact. It was a drinks party. I was beginning to enjoy myself. I was almost sorry when I reached the car. It wasn't as if I knew where I was going, anyway. But within minutes, the rest of my day was mapped out. Chris Crichton called on my mobile to invite me over for a chat, and shortly afterwards, Jess called to inform me that we were all going to visit Maureen. I didn't mind. I had nothing else to do. The last confrontation I'd had with an angry father came shortly after my ill-advised and, as it turned out, illegal sexual encounter with Danielle, 5'9", 36 double D, 15 years and 250 days old. The venue for this previous confrontation was my flat in Gibson Square, because Danielle's father was outside waiting for me as I tried to sneak home one night. It wasn't a particularly fruitful meeting. I tried to raise the issue of parental responsibility with him, and he tried to hit me. I still think I had a point. What was a 15-year-old doing snorting cocaine in the gents' toilets of Mellon's nightclub at 1 a.m. on a Tuesday morning? But there is a possibility that if I hadn't been so forceful in the expression of my view, he wouldn't have marched round the corner to the police station. The only physical contact I had with Jess was when I sat on her head, and that was for entirely non-sexual reasons. In fact, they were selfless. Heroic, even. Chris Crichton, unfortunately, was not prepared to greet me as a hero. I was ushered into his living room and given a dressing down. I had shown a lack of judgment. I should have found out Jess's surname and phone number and called him. And a lack of taste. Mr. Crichton seemed under the impression that his daughter's appearance in the tabloids was something to do with me. He claimed that I was likely to do very well out of it all. I just stood up to go when Jess appeared.
I told you to stay upstairs.
Yeah, I know, you stupid old bastard. Has anyone ever told you you're an idiot?
This is how she talks to me, he said. He looked at me mournfully. Jess gave us the finger. The point is, you were in loco parentis, said the proud father. Firstly, she's 18, and secondly, I sat on her head in order to stop her from jumping, which might not have been parental, but was at least practical.
Did you sleep with her?
Absolutely not.
You should be so lucky, said Jess.
Are you going to maintain a relationship with Jess?
Define your terms.
I think you should define yours first.
Listen, pal, I came here because I know how worried you must be, but if you're going to talk to me like that, I'll fuck off home.
I'm sorry, but you know the family history now. It's hard for all of us.
Yeah, I can see that.
Martin.
Crichton had clearly been media-trained to use first names wherever possible to show that he was my mate. I can see you've made some wrong turns in your life.
Jess snorted.
But I don't think you're a bad man.
Thank you.
I'd like you to keep an eye on her.
Well, I'm not sure we'll be seeing...
He'd love to, said Jess, but he's flat broke.
Why is money relevant?
Because, say he had to keep an eye on me and I'd gone into some club and they wouldn't let him in because he's skint, I could go in and OD on smack. I'd be dead just because you were too mean to stump up.
I suddenly saw Jess's point. £250 a week from Britain's lowest-rated cable TV station focuses the mind. Jess slumped lifeless in a toilet for the sake of 20 quid. It was too ghastly to contemplate. Jess negotiated a float of £1,000 and didn't even ask for 10%.